Hello, friends. Welcome to the After Hours Lounge. Welcome back if you're a regular listener. My name is Sandy and I am your host. And today I'm joined on the podcast by me. This is a solo episode. I am by myself on this one. And this is something I started doing last year before I basically took a year off the podcast. But I started doing every fourth episode would be a kind of solo episode, just myself. I would go over the three lessons I've learned from the previous three episodes with guests. And then I talk a little bit about some lessons I've learned, what's been going on in my life. I suppose just a bit of housekeeping, a bit of catching up. A lot of people seem to take an interest in what I've been watching, big into films and things like that. And generally just, this is not me, tooting my own horn, but just a kind of catch-up episode. This is something that, people have asked for and something that people seem to enjoy. And I really enjoy doing them as well. So I hope you're going to stick around and listen to them. Interestingly enough, they're putting this episode together. I was listening to the intro, and because when the podcast started, it was so much more about having a drink and a chat and stuff like that. And obviously, as I've got older and as I've done the podcast for a few years, my relationship with alcohol has changed quite a lot, to the point where I now don't have a drink while I record the episode. So I wonder if it's getting a bit outdated now. And I listen to it, and it kind of sounds like someone doing a wee at the start of the podcast rather than someone pouring a drink. So let me know what you guys think about the intro. Should I change it? Should I, get some different music? Should I switch it up a little bit? I'm thinking of doing it, but it'd be cool to get some feedback from you guys as well. So diving right in, I always try and keep these ones quite quick. I know you guys don't want to listen to me forever. Starting with the three lessons that I've learned from the previous three episodes. Hopefully, if you guys like this, you can go back and listen to the full episode as well. A little bit of marketing for you. The first one comes from my first episode of this year. First time I've had this guy on the podcast. We've been very good friends for quite a while now, but really over the last year or so, his friendship has truly meant the world to me as I've navigated the toughest year of my life, basically. And that is professional windsurfer, content creator, YouTuber, I suppose, filmmaker, George Grisely. Me and George have known each other for a long time, and in the last year, he's had a really big year. Was signed to the Duotone International team as a professional windsurfer, won his first international title, the tow-in title for the freestyle tour last year, 2023, and generally just had his first full year on tour and did really well. And we've been traveling together, and we both work for the freestyle tour, so we do events together and things. And I thought it was about time I got him on the podcast. He gets a lot of attention on social media, rightly so. But it was cool to dig into him, dig into his career and how he's dealt with the last year, and suddenly having a lot of eyes on him and the feeling the pressure of all that. And the biggest lesson I took from George, and it was kind of the name of the episode that I did with him, so it comes as a bit obvious that this is the lesson that I'm taking from that episode, but the idea of investing in yourself. We are too quick these days to invest financially in things. We're all talking about we've got to buy a house and get our foot on the ladder. We've got to invest, in Bitcoin or stocks and shares, or put money into a savings. You want to have a war chest. You want to have money and means squirreled away for your future. But there's the other side of investing that I think not enough of us talk about, and that is the idea of actually using some of those financial means to not invest in your life in that aspect in terms of assets, but invest in yourself. Now, whether that is a gym membership because you're a little bit overweight and you want to do something about it, paying that money, 40, 50 quid a month, however much it is, as you can tell, I don't go to the gym, however much that is, paying that money, that's investing in yourself. For George, it was, spending money on camera equipment or on plane tickets to go and create this film that he created while we were on our trip in Brazil. Bittersweet. If you haven't watched it, watch it on YouTube. It's amazing. And not just because I'm in it. But investing, and not only investing your money and things like that, but investing your time. Rather than sitting there in the evening going, I'm just going to chill out and watch Netflix. I'm going to sit and edit a couple of videos put together that I can put out on social media that I know people are going to enjoy. That's something that was from George's point of view, but that idea of investing in yourself can be taken from anything. I'm going to continue to use the fitness one because I feel like that's something that a lot of people can relate to. It's quite an easy one. Investing in yourself in terms of, no, I'm not just going to sit on Netflix tonight. I'm going to invest in myself by going out for a run, or I'm going to go to the gym. And then, yeah, it's shit and I don't want to do it. And of course, I'd much rather be sat on the sofa eating crisps off my stomach and watching Netflix. But ultimately, that's the investment that I'm putting in myself. from a mental health perspective, if that's what you're looking for, or even for me, I haven't done it for a while, but I'm actually back in it now. But last year, I was in therapy for a while, and that costs money. So there's the investment on that side, but also the investment from me personally to be like, I'm ready to open myself up to this professional, this person who I've never met, and bear all, and really dig into this. And it not only takes that financial investment of paying X amount a month, and I'm very privileged to be able to do that, I know, and I know some people aren't, and there are options out there if you do struggle to pay for it, and I would advise you do it, but if you feel like you need to, but also investing from an internal point of view for me was, I'm going to invest in this and go to therapy, and it worked, and it kind of led me down the line to the point where then I was like, well, I'm going to invest in myself even further, and I got a business mentor towards the end of last year, to give me a bit of a direction of what I wanted to do. And whilst you go, yeah, well, you know, that money could have been spent on something else, or your time could have been spent on something else, the satisfaction that I got, and also just the value I got from doing that, whether it's the therapy, the mentoring, or in George's case, you know, investing that time into learning, teaching himself how to create content and you know, on Final Cut and video editing things and stuff like that, ultimately it does pay off. And at the time, it may seem scary, especially in a financial sense. But I mean, for George, you know, the fruits of his labor are starting to bear now. You know, you're starting to see he's, you know, going viral all the time on Instagram and getting signed to the international team. And that's because he sat in the trenches and had a couple of years of investing in himself, both financially and personally. I appreciate not everyone can do this, and I hope people don't just take away. I know I've talked a lot about the financial side of it. And that is a big part of it. And I know, you know, life isn't easy at the moment, or ever been really, but specifically at the moment in terms of finances. But taking a little bit aside, whether it's for therapy, a gym membership, so that you can start a little project you've always wanted to, you know, buying a camera or anything like that, buying a new bike, anything. I think a certain level of personal investment is hugely important, both personal, financial, and finding the time to do it as well. Even if it does drag you off the sofa and away from your favorite Netflix show, I think it is hugely valuable. And that was the first lesson from George Grisley. And I highly recommend, yeah, you listen to the full episode with George. There's a lot of good stuff in there, if I say so myself. But yeah, that was the big lesson I learned from George. And I hope that you guys can take something from it as well. Next lesson. So the next one... this was a really interesting episode. This was with Adam Sims. Adam Sims is a professional windsurfer. He is a media figure. I can't think of what to call him, really. He is the CEO and director of the Freestyle Pro Tour, having acquired it a few years ago. So he's actually technically my boss. You know, ex-professional windsurfer, still a professional windsurfer technically. But yeah, filmmaker, content creator, does a lot of cool stuff, basically. And works with some amazing people. And some incredible brands, both inside and outside the kind of water sports industry. And I had him on the podcast. He was one of my first guests on the podcast way back in 2020. And that was discussing, he had fairly life-changing surgery not long before that, on his neck and his back. He had a very severe windsurf crash and, you know, just over time. So he had surgery on it. We talked about his career as a professional windsurfer, things like that. And then since then, his life has changed quite a lot. And turns out that was kind of the catalyst for him stepping back from kind of being a professional athlete and going into what he does now, which is essentially a businessman and an entrepreneur, in all the ventures that he does. And the big lesson I took from him, and this is going to sound obvious, but I think it's really interesting and I think we forget about it a lot, both in a professional and a personal sense. One of the big things he spoke of was surrounding yourself with the right people. And I think this is a really big one. And this is something that I've thought about a lot recently. I've heard a lot of people within the sort of podcasting space and self-development space, if you will. Sometimes I think that's such a wanky thing to say, but it's kind of, there's no better way to say it, really. I've heard them talking about it a lot and how important it is surrounding yourself with the right people. Especially as you do get a little bit older, you get into your kind of late 20s, early 30s, you'll start to notice everyone starts to kind of do their own thing. You've got one half of your group, your friendship group from, you know, your life so far, are having children and getting married and settling down and going in this one direction. And then you have the other half who are considering taking another gap year or going traveling again or doing something wild, going up a mountain and doing ayahuasca or you know, something like that. And then it can be easy to kind of feel like you're being pulled in both directions and also kind of not necessarily knowing what you want to do. I think alcohol plays a large part of it. Chris Williamson recently, he's a podcaster, has a podcast called Modern Wisdom. It's really helped me in the last year. But he talks a lot about how alcohol especially is like a framing device for your friendship group. And as soon as you step back from alcohol slightly or stop drinking it, I'm not saying this has happened to me, by the way, this is just an anecdote. At all. I'm very lucky to have some absolutely incredible friends, and actually in the last month or so, they have truly shown how much they care about me. I know the point of this podcast is to get personal, but I don't want to get too personal about it because there are other parties involved, and I want to show respect to them if I can. But yeah, my friends really, really showed how much they cared about me in the last month. And that meant a lot to me. You can hear me getting a bit choked up about it, but well, anyway, back to the story. Sorry, waffle there. What Chris Williamson said is sometimes if you're constantly just going out boozing with these people and you think, oh, these are my best friends and stuff like that, and sometimes you realise actually if you take the alcohol away and the partying and just going out with people, if you take that away and then sit with them and hang out with them, you realise potentially you don't have that much in common with them. And you find yourself going like, well, actually, do I like this person? Or is it a drinking buddy, or is it an actual true friend? And I'm not saying you should, you know, examine all your friends and cut them out of your life or anything like that, but I think it's worth potentially bearing in mind of like who are these people that I'm surrounding myself with. And equally, if you have specific goals and you have things that you want to do, for example, in the context of what Adam was saying, I was talking to him about the fact that I see him at events and how stressful working at an event can be, especially a windsurfing event where you're so reliant on wind and conditions, and you need this stuff to work in order for the event to run. And one thing I've noticed about Adam is not once have I ever seen him raise his voice, lose his temper, get angry at anyone, even when things are super stressful. And he has never once raised his voice. And it came down to, he was like, I'm very specific about who I choose to be on the team with me. So not just in a personal sense, like I've just discussed, but even in a professional sense, he was like, I really, really take a look at who this person is and whether I can actually be around them. And also kind of have a laugh with them, but I also know that when it comes down to it, they're going to get the job done. And then once the job is done, they're a person that I would quite happily sit and have a conversation with, or go out for a beer with, or share a meal with, or something like that. And he said through that, it's meant he's never had to raise his voice. He's never had to get angry or be worried that someone isn't doing their part of the role properly, because he knows straight away. And I think it's such a good quality, especially if you are managing a team, or if you are part of a team, or if you're in some sort of leader role at all within your life. I think this is something really, really important. And I'm not really, I work by myself, I do this podcast, and then I'm a very small cog in the machine when it comes to the tour stuff I do with Adam. But it's something that really, really stuck with me, is really, really analysing who you surround yourself with, both in a personal sense, and are these the right people for me if I'm trying to grow and I'm trying to do things? And secondly, at work, whether you're leading people or being led by people, trying to look around and kind of realize, you know, if someone's getting angry and shouting and things like that, or if someone's being shouted at, is it the right thing? So yeah, that was a really valuable lesson, I thought, and something that I think we all need to take stock of is who you surround yourself with, and making sure that you are surrounding yourself with good people. Because I think often it's easy to think you don't have the choice and that you are stuck with the people you're surrounded by, and actually you're not. It's just change, and you need to have the courage to realize you can change who you are surrounded by. More on that later in the podcast when I talk about myself a little bit more. So yeah, that was lesson number two. Adam Sims, great episode, really, really interesting. Like I said, especially if you're working within a team, or if you have a team of people below you that you're perhaps leading, really, really valuable episode. Also did one with Ollie Scott as well a couple of years ago. Scroll back through that. That was really, really cool. If you're wondering how to manage people slightly better, Ollie runs one of the biggest windsurf centres in the world, Club Vass, where I used to work. I'm sure a lot of you listening know who Ollie is, but yeah, some real value in there of how to kind of manage people and best practices and things. It was really, really, really great episode. All right, lesson number three. This was in my latest episode. And this is like kind of, I suppose, a bit of an obvious one, I guess you could say, purely because it's like kind of one of the cornerstones of what the podcast is about. And that was with my episode with Ryan Peacock, pro wakeboarder. Me and Ryan have spoken over the last couple of years about doing it, but we actually managed to meet up in person in Cape Town and lay down an episode, and it was awesome. And something we discussed an awful lot was the why mental health is still kind of such a taboo within the extreme sports world. And towards the end of the episode, something we really got into and talked about was the power of speaking up about what's going on in your head and the subsequent effect that has on the people around you or on other people. This is something I've spoken about an awful lot, and I, you know, if you guys are regular listeners, you're probably going to yawn and roll your eyes and, oh, here he is talking about it again. But hey guys, it's important. It's kind of the reason I started the podcast. And it's this whole idea, and I think obviously I don't have any experience being a female, so I don't know what it's like. But for me, for men, something I found is that the minute I, and again, this isn't me blowing my own trumpet, I just happened to be the one in my group that did this, but the minute I spoke out about struggling with mental health, and, you know, sometimes I get depressed, sometimes I get anxious, it was actually the first episode I put out of this podcast, I had like quite a few of my friendship group reach out and be like, yeah, oh, I didn't know you had this, I had this. And some of them were like, yeah, I'm actually on medication for this, or I'm in therapy, or I do this, or fuck, I really struggle with this as well. And I suppose what me and Ryan were talking about and what we realised is, there almost needs to be that first person. There needs to be that catalyst. And as soon as that first one comes out and says, oh, I'm kind of struggling with this, it kind of changes the dynamic of the friendship group. Whether it's friendship group, whether this is at work, a peer group, anything. But it changes the dynamic of that, and it creates this new level of transparency and comfort that I think, sadly, can almost only be achieved by having that one person doing it first. I don't think it necessarily happens organic. I mean, maybe it does now, and I would love it for it to be happening organically without that first person. You know, almost like happening proactively rather than reactively, if that makes sense. So having people talk about, hey, you know, a couple of years ago I had a bit of brush with mental health. Any of you guys ever struggle with that or anything like that? And I don't think friends really talk like that, especially men. I think sadly a lot of the time it's more reactive, where someone has to go, hey boys, I'm not coming to the pub tonight, and it's not because I've got a bad stomach or because I'm throwing up or whatever, it's actually because I'm suffering with depression and all this. And sadly it takes that one person, but, and this is maybe controversial, sometimes like it's almost a good thing, because down the line, and this is from my personal experience, when I spoke out about it, all my friends rallied around me, and then we all rallied around each other. And now it's a common subject of conversation that we all talk to. I'm not saying we're all talking about it all the time or anything like that, but every now and then one of my friends or me or anything will check in on some of the others and be like, you all right, boys? What's going on? And now it's at the point where, you know, while we were in Cape Town, there's quite a few of my friends, and a couple of them weren't, and it was kind of a couple of them would be like, I don't think this guy's doing that well, maybe we should talk to them. And then we'd all phone them, and then they'd feel better and all this. And it just, like I said, it creates a new level of transparency. And I think even outside of a friendship group, even into a work group or anything like that, sometimes it takes that catalyst. But the minute that catalyst does it, everything just gets so much more open and so much more comfortable. And then you start to realize, A, you're not alone if you're suffering. Because trust me, if you're suffering, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of other people out there feeling exactly the same way you do. I'm not saying that to invalidate how you feel, but I'm saying it for you to hopefully realize that you're not weird or an outsider, or that you need to feel worse about yourself because you feel like this. Because you don't. It's a human condition. You know, it's bitten a lot of people here and there, and it continues to affect so many people. So you're not alone, and also you're not a burden. My friend Bruce, who's been on the podcast a lot, famously told me once, he said, I'd rather hear you on the phone for moaning or crying or whatever for 20 minutes than hear your eulogy. And that's something I've carried with me a lot since. And I think it's very important. I think it's so important to realize that it's okay to tell your friends. And more often than not, when you tell them, they're going to appreciate it. And they're going to feel pretty stoked that you felt comfortable enough to confide that within them. Sometimes you often think you're going to be a burden. They don't want to hear it. Often, actually, they do want to hear it. And it, kind of in a weird way, it makes them feel quite special because you're trusting them with something. So I would advise anyone, and this is something that, you know, me and Ryan talked about a lot, is because he did something similar within his group of peers and friends and family and things is you know, as soon as he spoke up and people spoke up, suddenly people kind of come out of the woodwork and go, hey, I struggle with this, struggle with this, struggle with this. So if you are struggling, do not be afraid. Be that first person. Be that catalyst. Not only is it going to help you, but it may help others as well. And if there's one thing I learned from reading, you know, books and things like that, you know, when I was depressed, this was actually around this time last year, I read this book, and this guy said one of the biggest things you can do if you're struggling with depression or anything, especially as a man, is to be of service. Be of service to others. And sometimes in a kind of weird roundabout way, the best way to be of service to others is to be of service to yourself. And the way you do that is by talking about how you feel. So yeah, that's my third lesson, and maybe the most important lesson. I hope you guys can take something away from all three of those. Yeah, and don't forget, go back and listen to the full episode as well if you want to get some more wisdom, because trust me, my guests talk a lot more sense than I do. So yeah, give them a listen. So usually after that, you know, going into these solo episodes, now I kind of just go into what I've been working on, how I've been, just kind of, I guess you guys can relate to it a little bit. I know this is perhaps nonsense and you guys might not like it, but it's a bit of a ramble. And then I will get into what I've been reading, what I've been watching, and what I've been listening to at the end of the podcast. So the first thing I want to talk about is, and this is a really strange, very niche metaphor analogy for how my life is going right now, but it really, really helped me, and everyone I've told since has also done it. Equally, they're in my group of friends, so they perhaps understand the niche analogy slightly more. But I was talking to a friend recently, a close friend, about the last year for me, and without getting into it too much, again, because of the respect for the other party and things, I went through a pretty traumatic, very large breakup last year, around sort of May time. It was extremely difficult, and then sadly, over the last couple of months, it has become even more difficult. And my entire life has now changed, and I'm moving to Cornwall by myself, and having a bit of a fresh start, kind of not getting away from it, but just I need a bit of a fresh start. And my friend used a Game of Thrones analogy, which for us at the After Hours Lounge, we're super nerds. We love a Game of Thrones analogy. And my friend said to me, he was like, you are about to go into your House of the Dragon era. He was like, the last year of your life has been like season 8 of Game of Thrones. And those of us who have seen Game of Thrones know that season 8 wasn't great. And he was like, you know, it's been a difficult year for you. But you're about to go into House of the Dragon. And for all of us who've watched House of the Dragon, House of the Dragon was amazing. It was like peak Game of Thrones again. It came back and surprised all of us. It was unbelievable. And he was like, just you wait. And he was like, you're about to go into your House of the Dragon era. And it sounds so silly. And essentially, I guess what he means is like you, and I've said it before so many times on the podcast, he's like, you need to hit the bottom in order to start going back up again. And I think I thought I'd hit the bottom a few months ago and had started to work my way back up. And I truly thought I had. And then over the last month, it kind of crashed again, and I actually had a really, really, really bad time. I think I'll be ready to talk about it properly in a few months. I don't think it's right that I talk about it now, but I don't want to say I had a breakdown, but my mental health became the worst it has been for quite a long time. This is what I'm saying earlier about, you know, my friends very much rallied around me and did some truly special things that I will never forget, and my family as well. Yeah, I'll talk about it in a few months' time once I've therapized the shit out of it and I feel ready to talk about it. But my friend saying this, for some reason it kept rolling around in my head. It was such an off-the-cuff thing he said in a conversation. I think we'd had a couple of beers and he just said it and it just stuck with me, is that I am going into my House of the Dragon era. Things are about to get better. And, you know, everything's starting to go up. So yeah, that was something good. So if you've just had a bad time, whatever it is, whether it's you've lost your job, you've gone through a breakup, you're feeling a bit lost in your life, know, my friend, that your House of the Dragon era is about to start. Season 8 of Game of Thrones is over, and now it's only up from here. But one thing I am nervous about is starting from scratch. I'm 32 years old, and the prospect of moving somewhere new. I'm moving to Newquay. So if anyone listening is from Newquay, hit me up. Let's hang out. Because I have one friend down there at the moment. But yeah, it's the idea of starting from scratch and having to kind of make new friends and find a new routine and everything like that. It's kind of scary. It's quite exciting. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared and nervous. But so many of my friends and people from this community around this podcast have sent me so many things and said, you know, growth ends at the edge of your comfort zone and all this stuff. And those quotes are amazing. I'm not going to say necessarily you read that and you go, yeah, you're right, that's perfect, I feel better already. But I think there is a certain level of truth to it. And I'm quite excited to kind of get out of my comfort zone a bit and be somewhere new and almost be a bit uncomfortable. In a weird way, I've been traveling essentially for the last year, living out of Airbnbs and things like that. So the thought of actually settling down and, you know, paying regular rent and living somewhere and owning a bed and a sofa and a TV and stuff kind of scares me. But also I wrote down my 2024 goals in January, and I look back at them recently, and actually the first goal I wrote was find a home, which is fairly poignant. So I'm hoping that Newquay will be that home. But there was a really interesting one. Again, I think this was Chris Williamson. Someone was talking about the idea of having to make new friends in your 30s and how scary it is and anything like that. And people are like, people kind of, when you say you go make new friends, people sort of, you know, put their nose up at you a bit, so roll their eyes, and it's like, why do you need to make new friends? And I guess it was the whole idea that you don't ask why someone who is already fit goes to the gym. You know, like, you can go and find some new friends. You've got to get yourself out there, as you have been doing for your life, your whole life. Yeah, so that's what I think is really important, is don't be afraid of starting from scratch. I always love the quote of, ships weren't made to be in the harbour. They were made to go out on the high seas, out on adventures. And that's what we are, I suppose. We're not designed to be in the harbour. Sure, the harbour's safe, the harbour feels good, but if you stay in the harbour for too long, you start to stagnate, and ultimately that's just going to make you feel worse. You've got to get out there. You've got to meet people. You've got to put yourself in situations that potentially make you feel uncomfortable. For me, you know, like, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the perfect example of that. You make the deliberate uncomfortability and ends up kind of making you feel more comfortable all round. I'm also really excited to get back to jiu-jitsu. I've really missed it. I haven't trained for a year now. So yeah, I'm going to be hopefully training when I get down to Newquay. Cool. I think that's kind of it. That's enough of my waffling. Let's get into the final section. So what I've been reading, what I've been watching, and what I've been listening to. I love talking about this. I almost want to start like another podcast talking about this, but if there's one thing the world doesn't need, it's more white dudes with a podcast. So yeah, we'll just stick to this one, and I hope you guys enjoy this. I should like get you guys to, you know, comment some stuff what you've been reading, watching, and listening to as well, because like I said, I do really enjoy this. Reading first, really trying to make an effort with reading this year. I did last year as well, but then kind of got thrown off just because, as I said, my world got a bit flipped upside down, and I ended up just spending an awful lot of time with my friends. So I didn't actually do as much reading as I'd have liked to. Towards the end of the year, I did. And something I read towards the end of the year last year was Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It's all about kind of stoicism, everything like that. And essentially, judging by the title, you can probably guess what it's about. It's about taking the obstacle that is put in front of you and realizing that that is actually the path that you should be on, and learning how to overcome, not just overcome it, but let that define your path. Really, really, really good book. It was recommended to me to read as like the best book to read after a breakup. But also, if you've lost a job, if you're finding yourself on a new path in life, anything. It's only about 4.5 hours long. I listen to books. I don't read them. I listen to them on Audible because I like doing it while I go for a walk or a bike ride or anything. It's only about 4.5 hours long, so it's really quick. And it's got loads of great anecdotes about how famous people throughout history have used stoicism, this kind of mindset that was devised by Marcus Aurelius, one of the emperors of Rome. So it's very old, all these ideas, but they're still so poignant in today's world, you know, over 2,000 years later. So yeah, Obstacle is the Way. That is a really great book. Highly recommend it. And I've got all of Ryan Holiday's other books that I'm going to be getting stuck into as well. But yeah, Obstacle is the Way really, really helped me. I'm actually rereading it at the moment. So yeah, get into that. And then I always like to have a fiction on the go as well. I think it's important that you have both. On there, you know, you need a bit of escapism, you need a bit of self-development, but I think you also need a bit of escapism. I've been on the same fiction book since September last year. It's extremely long, it's 43 hours long, but I've got like 4 or 5 hours left and I've got really into it. Kind of slowed down in the midpoint, and it is Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. It's called one of the first book of the Stormlight Archives. All my mates have read it, everyone's got into it. So yeah, I'm a few hours off the end of it. And sometimes, honestly, I just keep walking or keep riding. The other day, I rode my bike for about 9 or 10 miles because I just didn't realise, because I was just so into this book. So yeah, I think having a bit of escapism to counter too much self-development, I think, is a really good idea. I think it's very easy to get too into the podcasts and the self-development books, and you kind of end up confusing yourself because there's so many ideas on how you should be living your life, that sometimes actually you just need to get your head into another world for a little bit and listen to a story. So yeah, Way of Kings, Obstacle is the Way. They are my two books that I'm reading at the moment. What I've been watching, I mean, let's just talk about Dune Part 2. I watched Dune Part 2 on Saturday night, and it was perfect. It was everything I wanted to be. People who know me, listeners of the podcast, will know I'm a huge nerd. I am obsessed with Dune. I read the book before the first film came out, and it was so good. I absolutely loved it. And yeah, Part 2 came out of the film, and I went to see it, and it was unbelievable. It was everything I wanted to be. I've listened to the soundtrack ever since. I've been thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm going to go see it next week when I get to Cornwall with my one friend who I've got in Cornwall. So yeah, I'm going to go see it again. I can't wait. It was absolutely amazing. In terms of TV, Shogun on Disney Plus. Oh my God, it's amazing. If you're into that kind of thing, it's a lot of subtitles because it's all in Japanese, but I feel like that's quite legit. Subtitles are always good. You know, watching foreign films and subtitles are good because it means you stop going on your phone. You can't go on your phone. You have to fully sit and watch it. And I think that is really important because all too often it feels too nice to sit with big screen on while looking at little screen. And I think whilst that's nice, it's not a good idea. So yeah, watch more stuff with subtitles. I think it's really great. But yeah, Shogun on Disney Plus, third episode came out today as we talk now. It's the 5th of March. So yeah, get on Shogun. It is class. Finally, listening. I mean, I've said it already. I've been listening to the Dune Part 2 soundtrack. That's all I've been listening to. But I do love listening to soundtracks. You know, again, there's that kind of level of escapism. I have a podcast. This is the podcast. I have a playlist on Spotify called Classical Bangers, which quite a few of my friends follow. I'm very proud of it. Classical Bangers, which is a lot of movie soundtrack songs that I love. Sometimes if I'm like trying to get to sleep, or if I just need to relax, if I'm on a long drive, sometimes I just need to chill out while I have a think. This is the playlist I go to. It's great. And then also a band called Sleep Token. It's kind of like, they're kind of like metal, but kind of not. They have like some R&B elements. They have some like almost like pop elements in it. I couldn't put a finger on what genre it is. They dress like Slipknot. But they definitely don't sound like Slipknot. But there is, there are the odd bits of screamo in it, and it's just amazing. It's the perfect blend of what I used to listen to when I was a teenager and what I listen to now. And a couple of their songs, one song, Take Me Back to Eden, like just haunts me because it was what I was listening to in January earlier this year when I had a really difficult time. It's one of those, like, you know, when you have to keep going back to listening to a sad song every now and then. And I've been going back to that song a lot. It just takes you back to a time and a place, which, whilst it was a traumatic time and a place, I think I don't know, for some reason I still love listening to it. I wonder if you guys have got songs like that. I'm sure you do. Music has a weird way of taking you to places, whether both good and bad. But yeah, Sleep Token and movie soundtracks, just anything by Hans Zimmer, basically. So yeah, that is what I've been reading, watching, and listening to. And that is it, my friends. That is the end of this episode of the After Hours Lounge. Thank you so much for being here. If you've made it this far, you've managed to listen to me waffle away. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with another guest, and we have some good guests coming up, let me tell you. Actually, got some girls coming on the podcast, which is really exciting. It's not through anything deliberate, but I do recognise, you know, realistically, the podcast was started about kind of men's mental health and doing that, so I know there have been a lot more male guests than female guests, but the next couple of guests we've got coming up, both female, and both really, really exciting guests, and yeah, I really think you guys are going to absolutely love them. So yeah, please do keep listening. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm actually more active on my own Instagram at the moment, at Sandy Clunas. I'm going to be putting out a lot more stuff on there rather than the After Hours Lounge podcast Instagram, purely because... I don't know, strategic business reasons, I suppose. But yeah, at Sandy Clunas, so you can follow me on Instagram there, where, you know, I put up videos about mental health, stuff like that, alongside what I generally get up to. So give me a follow on there. Make sure you've liked, reviewed, subscribed, all that stuff on whichever podcast platform you like. It takes 2 seconds and it massively helps get the podcast out there a bit more. And then if you have enjoyed an episode, put it in your Instagram story, share it with a mate, tell a friend about it. Again, all this organic stuff, this ways of sharing the podcast to take 2 seconds. If you genuinely think it could help someone as well, even better. But yeah, share it with your mates. We love it. But yeah, guys, thank you very much for listening. And we will see you for the next one.